I am Paul Harris. Ian Geis and Dan Strauss here in the studio with me. And now news director Colin Jeffrey switches to his alter ego as superhero Showbiz Boy to review movies and get into some other showbiz stuff. Hi, Colin. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing fine. Did not go to see any movies this week because we're still in that lull time. But I sent you off to see a couple of movies.
Yes.
And before you review them, I'm just going to apologize for the fact that you had to go see these movies because I'm predicting that these were not the funniest or best movies of the year.
They weren't, but I will say I was pleasantly surprised by both of them. However,
and there's always a however in life.
I'm going to do my best job of managing expectations for you.
Okay.
Because that will help.
What are you going to start with today?
We're going to start with Zoolander 2, the one we've been waiting 15 years for. Because I know that for the last 15 years, I've been saying, please do another Zoolander.
No.
I really enjoyed the first Zoolander. And it hasn't aged amazingly well. I think you have to have seen it around 2001 to sort of appreciate the time capsule that it is. But going back and rewatching it not that long ago, you realize it was actually a pretty decent piece of satire of an industry that I don't know needed satire, the modeling and fashion industry.
Mm-hmm.
But it did it well, and it knew what it was going to be. It was going to poke fun at those things, models and fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And it stuck to it.
Mm-hmm.
So 15 years later, both in movie time and real time, we meet up again with a... You may remember Derek Zoolander at the end of Zoolander wanted to make the Center for Kids Who Don't Read good,
mm-hmm.
and want to learn to do other things good too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a small model. And then he actually opened it at the end with Matilda, his wife. Well, it collapsed due to poor building. They didn't, and so it
literally collapsed.
It literally collapsed in the interim.
Uh-huh. They didn't build good on.
No, they didn't build good. Apparently, they didn't learn to do that good.
Mm-hmm.
So, poor Matilda is no more. That's an interesting way to get around someone not coming back. Just kill them.
Okay.
So, which is what you always do.
So, Ben Stiller is still Derek Zoolander, but
yes.
The woman who played his wife...
is gone.
Okay.
And Hansel has been maimed. Owen Wilson. That's maimed in quotes. And his son, who we saw at the end of the first and was flashing blue steel, the signature look, has been taken away from him because he's unfit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Derek Zoolander Jr., we meet again, and he is kind of a chubby, awkward kid, and Derek Zoolander is being sort of, he's trying to break back into modeling, but at the same time, as opposed to assassinating world leaders from the first one, they're now shooting pop stars, the best-looking people, who are, of course, pop stars now. Why not? And so this leads to perhaps the most satisfying sequence of the films, and I'm not giving anything away. It was in the trailers, and this is Justin Bieber getting shot a lot, which is
okay,
which is great.
Fine.
Which is fine. And then it just sort of devolves into shtick and rehashing gags that worked and trying to make them work now, but it loses its focus in that it's not clearly lampooning or satirizing one thing. It sort of tries to be, oh, we're going to poke fun at superhero or, you know, secret agent movies. And it just kind of gets unfocused. But if you liked the first one, you're going to like this to some extent. If you didn't like the first one, don't go see this.
Yeah,
like,
well,
it's not a rapid departure.
I don't even have to think about whether I'm going to go see Zoolander 2 because I didn't go to see Zoolander 1. And everything I've heard about it said, you made the right decision, Paul.
Yeah,
yes, I would. I'm same here.
And this is, again, we're managing...
What was Will Ferrell returns as?
Yes, as Mugatu. Kristen Wiig comes in as sort of a Donatella Versace.
Like right there is a trifecta. If you threw in Adam Sandler and Rob Schneider and David Spade, you would have the six people whose movies say to me, don't see it, don't see it, don't see it.
Yes.
Yeah. But
they all have the corner of the market of annoying comedy to me.
Yes.
It's annoying, irritating comedy.
I think I may have liked one Ben Stiller movie, the original Night at the Museum. It was very clever.
Good.
It was
There's
very
Something good. About Mary.
Oh, yeah, that
Tropic
was good
Thunder?
As well. No.
That one I tried watching, I'm not a big fan
Overrated.
Of.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm along with you with those.
Meet the Parents.
I love
that. That was good.
Parents.
The first one.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they had to bury that into the ground.
Yes.
There were three of them, right? That was
yes.
a trilogy. Meet the Fockers and...
And then...
Meet the Parents.
Meet the Kids or something.
Something like that.
The Little...
Little fuckers.
There you go.
Hey, we made a joke about
it. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's what this movie perhaps does best is it reminds you of the first one and the fact that these guys really haven't evolved much, but the most frustrating thing may have been you liked Derek Zoolander in the first one because he was kind of good-hearted. He was a gentle person who was just dull and all dumb. He knew how to do was model. And, mm-hmm. and so he's sort of lovable in that respect. Well, they give him this edge, especially at the beginning of this, where he's not that nice guy. And I don't know. When you take a lovable sort of dope and make him kind of a mean dope, that's not as much fun to watch for a while.
Mm.
So manage your expectations with this one. It's going to be funny if you liked the first one. It is not a comedy sequel that exceeds the original by any stretch.
When is there ever a comedy sequel that exceeds the original?
I don't know if there's a comedy sequel that exceeds. There might be a couple out there. I think there are some that are as good or right in the same ballpark as the original. I think that Gremlins 2 springs to mind. Oh. I really enjoyed Gremlins 2.
Mm-hmm. Ghostbusters 2?
Ghostbusters 2, I really enjoy.
It wasn't better than the first one.
But it was on par,
it was enjoyable.
Well, you know, in the second one, when they start making the Statue of Liberty walk, mm-hmm. that's when you go, okay, we're done.
You don't think they can do that?
Hot Shots yeah. Part 2.
With the slime?
With the
giant marshmallow man is okay, but
yeah.
making the Statue of Liberty walk, now you're going too far.
That's exactly right. Because the marshmallow man coming down the street and stepping on the church, and him, that's actually funny. But the Statue of Liberty walking across whatever river it is, the East River or the Hudson River, whatever that is, it wasn't funny. It seemed cheesy. I don't know why, but it just seemed cheesy to me.
Yeah, I don't. A lot of the Hangover 2 probably was close.
Gosh. No.
No?
No.
I thought 3 was horror. 3 was the bad one.
I thought they dropped off a cliff.
Oh, 3 was the bad one.
I enjoyed 2. I don't think I saw 3.
I enjoyed 2 also.
Here's the best.
Caddyshack 2? Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, with because Dan Aykroyd?
And Jackie Mason in the Rodney Dangerfield role?
Oh, that was atrocious.
Here's the best analogy I can think of. If you liked Ace Ventura and then saw Ace Ventura 2 When Nature Calls,
yeah.
this is sort of a similar drop-off. And a similar sort of, we're going to up the ante. Maybe it's not necessarily gross, but it definitely has, it's more edgy in that respect than the first.
How about Wayne's World 2? That would also be.
I like Wayne's World 2, yeah.
What about Dumb and Dumber?
And then the second.
The second one, it wasn't Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, right?
Dumb and Dumber.
Yes. Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber 2.
I never saw the most recent one where they came back. I heard mixed reviews. It didn't seem to make the splash.
Austin Powers, the second one, Spy Who Shagged Me.
Oh, that was good.
It was okay.
Yeah, and they went to Goldmember, and then it went all down.
Successful comedy sequels.
Well, you know what? Why? Here's a good part of the reason.
Because they go into it most of the time just thinking it's going to be a one-off. Right. And then the demand for it, they go, well, we have to make a second one now because people are going crazy.
And quite often when they make a sequel, they focus on one little thing that people liked, and they take that and make it a big thing. I'll give you a perfect example. City Slickers. Billy Crystal, Bruno Kirby, Daniel Stern, and Jack Palance, who won an Academy Award for that. Jack Palance's character dies in the first City Slickers. Well, in the second one, what do?
They look for Curly's gold.
And Jack His Palance's brother is back, played by Jack Palance again, and they play that up. And Bruno Kirby wasn't in it, so John Lovitz was in it, and it just went off the rails big time. I'll give you another example. Not officially a comedy, more of a sci-fi movie, but kind of a comedy sci-fi movie, Men in Black. Very, very good.
Yes.
In Men in Black, the first one, remember that little small piece with the dog that talks?
Yes.
With the really alien-looking guy at the newsstand, and Frank the Pug.
Yeah, Frank the Dog.
Okay, so then they make Men in Black 2, and Frank the Pug is now Will Smith's sidekick.
Yes.
Too much! They do this all the time. When you come up with an original idea for a comedy, you pretty much exploit all there is that's really funny about that singular idea in the original movie.
You do, yes.
And then when you get to making the second movie, it just doesn't work.
My wife texted me one that I actually think is just about as good as the original, Father of the Bride Part 2.
Oh, yes.
I agree. It's different, but yeah, I agree. They're both good movies.
Oh, wait a second.
The remakes.
I got one for you. Toy Story 2.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, there you go.
And Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
And, four.
Sure, talk about a franchise that's been able to keep the quality up all the way through, mm-hmm. but that's unique.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You know, you do not get that out
Airplane
of Ben Stiller.
Oh.
You know, Airplane 2 wasn't horrible, but it was nowhere near as good as the first one.
No. Christmas Vacation popped to mind just now.
Oh, well, all the vacation.
No, European Vacation.
How about Adam's Family Values, the second one? How about Monsters, Inc.? What was the sequel to that called?
Monsters University.
Oh, that was terrible. What about... I can't think of any.
Yeah,
you mentioned Hot Shots Part 2.
Yeah.
With Charlie Sheen.
Yes.
Very, very funny movie.
Very
and
funny.
Hot Shots, very funny as well.
Yeah.
They did something that Airplane couldn't do. They came up with good jokes for the second one.
They did, and it felt fresh. They didn't just rehash a bunch of... So, if you like Zoolander...
You know what it was? The first one was a takeoff on Top Gun. They made the second one a takeoff on Rambo.
Which works so
and
well.
That was a different kind of comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, if you like the first one, there will be things you like about this. It doesn't... I don't think it's as funny as the first one. And cult comedies lose their appeal when they get big, shiny budgets. And you feel that. The first Zoolander, they sort of had to do... on a shoestring budget, but, you know, Ben Stiller wrote, directed, and produced both of them now. So.
He did?
Yeah.
I saw the first Zoolander, and it was one of those that I couldn't stop watching, and I wasn't sure what I was watching, and there were some funny parts in it. It wasn't my favorite movie, but I might see Zoolander 2.
Anytime a comedy depends on the lead actor making a funny face.
Oh, he has a new look in this one.
He doesn't do that same funny face?
Oh,
with
he
the
does. That is still there. Which is essentially a duck face from all these selfies, you know?
Yes.
He created the duck face in 2001. Thank you, Derek Zoolander.
Okay.
Yes, he has a new look. It's a clever name. I don't want to spoil it. Just
okay.
If you're dying to see it.
All right. Yeah.
If you're dying to see it,
let's not spoil it. All right. No. So what do you give it on a scale of 10?
5.5. 5. Right in the middle.
If you could see us. Are we on 11.2 now? Did anybody see him do that?
I'm pointing.
We're not on the TV.
Wasn't he just arguing for this film the whole time?
He just was.
I'm saying manage expectations.
Yeah. Because at the end I said, what do you give it on a scale of 10? He gave me this face. I don't really know. Do I have to give it a rating? All right, 5.5.
We're on 2.4. We're not on 11.2.
Yes.
We're not good enough.
No.
All right. So that's one of the movies out this week. And the other one is Deadpool.
It's a comic book movie that is...
with my Mississippi Grind co-star, Ryan Reynolds.
No, I'm not done with that yet. No.
Which I am watching this weekend because it is on Amazon Prime. I'm going to sit down and... Mississippi Grind.
Oh, good.
So I'm going to sit down and watch Mississippi Grind this weekend.
Good. So everybody else who has Amazon Prime can also watch it for free.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, so I will report back to you next week.
A guy tweeted a couple of days ago, I'm watching Paul Harris's award-worthy performance in Mississippi Grind.
Wow.
And I wrote back, I replied to him on Twitter. I said, yes, I'm up for best performance by a guy awkwardly wearing a bow tie in a poker scene.
He had a pretty good shot at that, though.
Oh, yeah. It's a limited category.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really more of an honorary thing. It's like the Gene Hirschhold Award.
Oh, yeah.
They only give it to one honor. You know, it's a lifetime achievement kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting that at the Oscars this year.
So this is a comic book movie, a Marvel property.
Deadpool.
And Marvel, you know, can do no wrong, really, with all of their movies. This is enormous. But this is very, very different. Deadpool is the merc with the mouth. That means he's a mercenary, isn't necessarily a good guy. Isn't necessarily a bad guy, and he is filthy-mouthed. He breaks the fourth wall in the comics and does in the movie. It is overly sexualized intentionally. It is gratuitous violence. So if I have not turned you off with those things, then you should go see this.
Now, did you know the Deadpool character? Because you're a comic book guy.
Yes.
That guy kind of looked like, when I saw previews for it, it looks kind of like Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's got the same kind of outfit.
Yeah.
With the mask that covers him.
Yeah. He does, and it's because he had horrible cancer and was given treatments that allow him to heal super fast. And so, he's disgusting
head?
Under there. He's a revolting. He wears it to cover up his revolting face.
Okay.
And body.
Okay.
Huh. So There's actually an interesting story that I'm going to share before we get to the movie. In 2012, they released test footage was leaked of a Deadpool movie. Everyone thought it would be very tough to do. It was just a short little fight sequence. Well, it turns out Ryan Reynolds leaked that back then because he's been trying to get this movie made for a decade.
Really?
And that received such a positive response that it's sort of pushed the studios to move forward with this. So this tells the story of Wade Wilson, who is... He starts out, he's a mercenary, and he gets a diagnosis of cancer. And in order to extend his life, he takes a shady deal to be given powers and, you know, he'll be able to, his body will be able to defeat cancer. That's the general outline of the story.
What superpowers does Deadpool have?
Super healing. He heals, he can essentially chop off arms and regrow them.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And that's pretty cool.
So it's not like Superman where a bullet hits him and the bullet doesn't get into his skin. This guy will get shot, he'll be hurt, but in the morning he'll be okay.
Yeah, pretty quickly he'll be okay. He will not allow it to stop him. Think Wolverine. And in fact, there's great likelihood we may see many of these characters sort of mash up down the road. But it's fun. Like, they captured the spirit. It's juvenile at times. There are going to be some jokes that don't laugh, but go see this movie, and I think you will start laughing during the credits. They're the funniest credits I've ever seen. I can say that confidently.
Wow.
Like, it shocked everyone when we saw this, and you're laughing at the opening
credits.
You
were expecting a serious superhero movie?
No, I knew it would be sort of tongue-in-cheek, but the concern was they would play too many, like, poop jokes or butt jokes, and that's what you'd get. Mm-hmm. And there are those, but they're balanced with... It's funny enough without being overly juvenile, which I know sounds odd to say, because it is definitely that... It rides that line very tightly. But there's a reason it's able to do it successfully, and that's the director of the movie, Tim Miller. If you saw a movie, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, starring Michael Cera, if you did not see this movie, watch this movie. It's based on a graphic novel. It is very funny and has one of these you have to catch the tone just right or it's not going to land. He did that, and he did it again here with Deadpool.
Do you have to be a comic book guy or understand who this character is?
Nope. This drops you right in. Yes, they're trying to set up, I think, a new property here with this because of the failure of Fantastic Four. So I fully anticipate them to make a sequel from this because I think it will do well. It's just, it's going to offend your sensibilities even if you're not offended. Hmm. There's going to be something in it that's just like, that's just not funny. And they make jokes in poor taste. They aren't all going to land, but you're going to laugh more often than not. No, you don't have to be a comic book person. In fact, this doesn't feel like a comic book movie, most like the Avengers in those.
All right, but following up on Dan's question, yes. Do you have to know anything about it? You don't have to know anything to know Superman. Okay, just from the name, yes. You know what that is. Batman, Catwoman, The Hulk, The Flash. Their names tell you what their super abilities are. Why is he called Deadpool? That's the character's name, right?
They address that in the movie, and it's not. I'm just going to tell you why. When he worked for a mercenary, he would go to this bar where all the mercenaries would go, and they would get contracts and go back and get paid for fulfilling
these
contracts.
You've played that bar, haven't you, Dan, with your band?
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, they're very good. But you better play their requests.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah.
But this was dangerous work. So they kept a pool and a chalkboard of who would die next, and it was called the Deadpool. So as he comes back with his powers, he's sitting there with T.J. Miller, who you saw... If you watch Silicon Valley.
Yeah. He's very funny.
He's very funny. He plays the bartender, and they're sitting there trying to come up with a name, and he's like, oh, well, now you're not going to be on, I'm not going to win with you in the Deadpool. And he's like, oh, great name, Deadpool. Captain Deadpool. No, just Deadpool. Okay. And it's, you know, it's cheesy, but that's what you get with this. It's He references other pieces of superhero movies. He references other things Ryan Reynolds has done, the actor who plays Deadpool. Mm. He breaks the fourth wall in a lot of ways that were unexpected, and it's funny. But they don't do a great job of establishing the backstory, and it's difficult to say that it's a really good movie when the best fight happens right off the bat. And then everything else feels, the action feels like kind of a letdown from
there on
out.
What are you giving Deadpool on a scale of 10?
I'm giving it a 6.5. It feels like it should have come out in the summer, because this is a, both of these movies this week, you should walk in there and turn off your brain. Like, just, and you'll be good to go.
Well, I said I was already breaking records. Had a big Thursday, and for especially for an R-rated comedy, it may be the biggest of all time.
Wow, this is an R. I'm not going to tell you how to raise your kids. I fully anticipate Department of Child Protective Services to be outside these movies, though, looking for 13-year-olds.
Wow.
This is, I mean, this is for everything. I mean, for all of it. All of, I mean, anything you could give an R rating for, it has it, and plenty.
Is he a good guy fighting crime and all this other stuff, or is he?
He's a mercenary, so he's sort of a good guy, sort of a bad guy, and that's kind of central to the story.
Okay,
but yeah, it's fun. Stick around through the credits if you're not a Marvel fan. If you haven't gone to all these, stick around through the credits. That's all I'll say.
And, all right.
Two comedies out this week, which is odd to see in February.
There's also another movie called How to Be Single.
They tell me it's a comedy.
Well, I will tell you that if it's a comedy, the commercials don't prove it.
No.
And also out this weekend, playing at the Art Theaters, Plaza Frontenac and Tivoli, Michael Moore's new movie, Where to Invade Next. And he has said, he sent out an email this week telling high school kids, look, this is an R-rated movie because the Motion Picture Academy doesn't want you to see, I don't have any sex or violence in this movie. But for some reason, they've rated this R, and so I want you to sneak in.
Oh, wow.
And he has a website that he has set up teaching teenagers how to sneak in to the to his movie with all sorts of things, including one that says, you know, pretend you're an adult. Walk up there and just look like you detest the future and you're angry about things and you can't afford anything in your life.
Do they really enforce that? If a kid is 15, 16 years old and they go by a ticket for an R-rated movie, do they really enforce that much?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't buy it.
I don't think so, because I think my daughter was going to some R-rated movies when she was 16, 17, or 15, 16 years old.
The last movie I can think of where I saw someone standing outside of it in a theater was Saving Private Ryan. Like, I've got to go all the way back to then to think the last time I went to a movie and saw someone standing there to make certain everyone was old enough.
Mm, wow.
So that's the movies that are opening this weekend. A couple of other showbiz notes here. If you were an Oscar nominee this year, you would get a gift bag with unbelievable stuff in it, including $300 worth of personalized M&Ms, a $250 vaporizer, $45,000 worth of Audi rentals.
They did that last year, too, the Audi rentals.
A $55,000 10-day first-class trip to Israel, a $45,000 15-day walking tour of Japan, a $1,900 vampire breast lift. I don't even know what that is, but it says here it uses a person's own blood to rejuvenate the skin. So that's BS.
That's something you should do at home, too. Stick this needle in here, and it'll all work out fine.
Right. But here's my favorite thing on here. They are giving you a special toilet paper that has been endorsed by Gwyneth Paltrow on her website, Goop. It is one roll of toilet paper. Guess how much it costs?
Tell me it's like $18.
Guess.
Oh, I say $200.
Ian?
$75.
You two combined are correct. $275 from a toiletries company that, fine. You know what? When you get suckers like Gwyneth Paltrow in there, you know, it probably was $275 for a pallet. You know?
Yes.
You go to Aldi and you could buy it on a pallet for $275. But these people saw Gwyneth Paltrow coming. And they said, oh, no, that's not for the pallet, Gwyneth. That's for each roll of our toilet paper because it's special. Because of the way it caresses your, you know.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
So that's one of the things that'll be in there. Also, speaking of the Oscars, have you heard about the Russians who want to make an Oscar for Leonardo DiCaprio?
No.
Because he's never won one before? You know, he's up for The Revenant, and he's already won, I think he won the SAG Award. And
he's won them all, pretty much.
He won the Golden Globe. There's a woman by the name of Tatiana Yegorova who told a news agency over in Russia that she and her fellow Leonardo DiCaprio fans, who all live in the northeastern Yakutia province, are collecting gold and silver to melt into their own award for him. They're calling the campaign Oscar for Leo. And if he doesn't get one from the Academy, they will make one for him, and it can have it ready in 2 weeks' time. It will feature a man holding a traditional Yakut vessel for drinking, which will be a manifestation of people's love for the actor.
Wow. No. I'd just like to point out there's a cinematographer. I don't know if he's nominated this year. He's been nominated 13 times without a win, so maybe they could make him one.
Oh, I'm sure that that's exactly what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, poor because Leo. They want to get into the cinematographer's pants.
Poor Leo.
Well, you know what? This and all the stuff in the gift bag just falls into that category of all of these people, not including, you know, the technical people, but all of the actors and actresses and directors and producers. They have enough money to be able to afford any of these things that you're giving them, and yet you give it to them
for free. I would love to see if any of them do that walking trip to Japan or whatever the heck that is.
The 15-day walking tour of Japan.
Yeah. Last year, they got, I think, $10,000 or $15,000 in Life Coach gift certificates for a Life Coach.
A Life Coach?
Yes, a Life Coach. Someone you go to for advice about... Yeah.
Knowing Hollywood, that Life Coach is $15,000 an hour. Congratulations. Yeah. You've won an hour with me. Let's go. We're going to fix your life.
Now, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you might want to do is go to the bathroom.
And I have some toilet paper. Yeah.
That's $275.
She actually endorses a more expensive roll of toilet paper as well on Goop. It's $956.
Of course she does.
Well, I hope it's quilted.
It's just a quilt. I mean,
it's a quilt. It's a quilt on a roll.
It's green. It's like a handkerchief. You rewash it. Tuck it in your pocket.
You remember the movie Lethal Weapon with Mel Gibson and Danny Glover?
Yes.
Fox is planning a TV reboot of it starring Damon Wayans.
Oh, that'll be awful.
Fox is saying that they want to turn several of the movies that they own into TV shows, including Training Day, which won an Academy Award for Denzel Washington.
Yes, he said Fuqua said he's going to come back and write it, though, the guy who wrote and directed Training Day.
Antoine Fuqua.
Mm-hmm. That sounds dirty.
Also, yes, it is. That's why you need the toilet paper.
Yeah.
Also, Fox wants to make one out of The Notebook, which is the Nicholas Sparks movie.
Uh-huh.
They also want to do a Friday the 13th series, and 20th Century Fox is shopping a reboot of the A-Team. Haven't we already had an A-Team reboot?
Yeah, the movie did so poorly that they didn't greenlight a sequel.
I remember when you reviewed the A-Team and you said there will not be an A-Team 2. You were correct. It's going to be a TV series instead.
Oh.
TV stuff, The Amazing Race returns tonight. You got the DVR set, Ian?
I do not. Returns I've been watching a lot of those online, so...
Returns for a new season.
New
here?
Season starts tonight, and this season
Survivor, I think, is coming up next week.
Next week, yeah.
Brains versus Bronze versus Beauty or whatever.
Correct. Yeah.
What's the gimmick this year for Amazing Race?
It's all social media stars, people who are big on Instagram or YouTube or whatever else.
Isn't the Amazing Race filmed in like it's done at this point, right?
Oh yeah. So the episode that starts tonight.
The whole social media stars have kept their Instagramming and all this off social media after film, like, because you assume they're doing it while they're filming.
They couldn't say anything about it while they were doing it because they didn't have any of the equipment with
them. Seems like they should film this like live, like week by week or something.
That would be impossible.
Yeah, they could do it.
How are you going to capture it?
Louis C.K.'s making a whole show by himself.
Yeah, but how are you going to capture it into 1 hour?
Not good editors. There's some guys I heard that haven't won Oscars. They could do it.
Yeah. Also, there's a new Shark Tank on tonight, and on the panel tonight will be Chris Sacca, who is the guy who was one of the original investors in Uber and one of the original investors in Twitter.
Oh, he's been on a few episodes.
He's been on before. I would love for somebody to say to him, how's that Twitter thing working out for you, Chris? Because they tanked big time this week when they came out with their earnings. And also John Oliver's Last Week Tonight is going to return on Sunday. The last thing I want to talk about here is we don't really talk much about streaming TV shows. But I heard of a show on the Golden Globes this year. In fact, I think it won Golden Globe for maybe best comedy. It's called Mozart in the Jungle.
Yes.
Remember hearing about that? And I turned to my wife and I said, what is that? Mozart in the Jungle. It's a streaming series on Amazon, which I think actually swept the TV categories because their show Transparent also won a Golden Globe. So I was curious about this. And so since I have Amazon Prime, I started streaming it last week. And it is about a young woman played by Lola Kirk, whose father, Dan, is a old rock and roller. You'll remember Simon Kirk, who was in Bad Company and Free with Paul Rogers. Lola Kirk is the star of this. She's a 25-year-old oboe player in New York City who wants to get a job with the New York City Symphony. At the same time, that symphony has hired a new conductor, played by Gael Garcia Bernal, who was the star of Jon Stewart's movie Rosewater and has been in some other things. It's got Malcolm McDowell is in it. Bernadette Peters is in it. There's also an actress in it by the name of Saffron Burroughs. Really?
Wow. Mm.
Hmm. It's actually quite entertaining. And because it takes place in New York and it's about a woman in her 20s, and that's my daughter is a woman in her 20s in New York, I kind of watch it from that perspective. And it's interesting, and the stories are clever. And, you know, it's not the greatest TV in the world, but if you're looking for something to binge watch and you have Amazon Prime, Mozart in the Jungle might be pretty good.
Didn't Jethro Tull do a song like that?
Yes.
Mozart in the Jungle?
Exactly.
Mozart in the jungle, and it's all right by me.
Exactly.
We've lost them.
I believe it's on the
War. No, I'm right with you, Dan.
Oh, are you?
Believe, yes.
No, Jethro Tull?
Believe it's on the War Child album.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Thank you.
You really pulled that one out.
I don't know that that's correct, but I at least give me credit for knowing that that was a
Tull album. I know.
Any other showbiz stuff we have to get to
no,
today,
you just
Colin?
Mentioned this from Amazon, and if you do have Amazon Prime, I'm going to point you in the direction of a different original series they have. It's called Mad Dogs. It's based off a series, a British series that was on Sky TV. It chronicles the story of four friends who are invited by a fifth friend to come down to Central America, Belize in this case, and they are invited down for a vacation, seemingly. And this is when things go off the rails. They're four friends. They haven't all been together in years and years, and it's a quick... We talk about bloodlines, which is a slow burn. This is the opposite of that. By the end of the first episode, you're going to have to watch to see what happens, because it goes off the rails quickly and things deteriorate. It's not a great show, but man, it's a fun binge watch.
What's it called?
Something. Mad Dogs.
Okay.
Yes.
You know what we need? We need... I'm serious about this, because there's so much material out there. Didn't you say on the show a couple of weeks ago that the guy from FX said there are going to be 400 different scripted series produced by the networks and the streaming services this year? We need some sort of comprehensive guide that will tell you what's out there. Because even if you go on Netflix or Amazon to find out what are the Netflix originals that are out there that I should be checking out, there's no way to easily find out what they are and how to go through them.
No, they're getting... I noticed Netflix and Amazon both are now populating tabs when you're just looking for stuff that say just originals. But Netflix has so many, it doesn't even fit on their little scroll.
Yeah.
Like, there's too many.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm with you. And I think there's like a where can I watch or something, but I don't know.
But that's mostly about movies that are premiering on Amazon or Netflix this month, or Hulu or wherever they are. Hulu has new series going on. Crackle has new series going on.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time where when we just had three or four television networks, where TV Guide every year would come out with their fall preview issue. Either late August or September. You remember this, Dan?
Yeah.
And you would open that up and you'd look through there and you go, oh, here are the shows that are going to be on this fall. Now, it's impossible to have something like that with 400 shows premiering in the course of a year, but there must be a website or a better way to find that. If anybody knows of a good resource for that, and I'm not just talking about here's what's new on Netflix this month. I'm talking about something that guides you to what's worthwhile to check out on the streaming services and on all the networks and on all the other stuff. Because, you know, FX is premiering new shows all the time.
Oh my gosh.
You have no idea what's on there.
WGN America had a great show that they just announced was canceled, Manhattan. It was still getting, most people have never heard of the show, it was still getting nearly 500,000 viewers.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you're a content provider, it's a great time to be a content provider because there are so many outlets that will buy your content.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you break through to get viewers, to get consumers to know that your content even exists? That seems incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Even if you make a deal to get something on Netflix, how do Netflix subscribers know your show exists and is worthwhile?
Well, the most talked about show right now, this O.J. Simpson, the story of O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
Everyone's talking about it. It had 5.5 million viewers, its first episode. It didn't get 20 million viewers or 30. It got 5.5 million viewers.
Mm-hmm.
The most talked about show on right now, and it struggled to, I mean, those are numbers that 10 years ago wouldn't have stood out from anything.
Right.
And it's just, yeah, there's so much.
bingewatch.com. We should create that and start putting stuff on there and then sell advertising, and we're millionaires.
Yeah.
There we go.
There we go.
No, you know what? You don't want it as a .com. You want it as an app.
Oh,
that
there
people
you
have
go.
To pay 99 cents for.
Binge Watch.
And then they download that and they get the information.
Sell it a million times and go to Belize.
Get Chris Sacca on the phone. I'm going on Shark Tank tonight.
Let's go.
That's our showbiz stuff for this week. Brought to you by Window World, the number one replacement window company in the United States. Online at windowworldst.louis.com.